Welcome back, people. Real Tech Talk, episode number 40. Sizzle. Now, we're bringing today my boy Brian from Marker. Yes, he spells it with the second R. I don't know why. This is actually to teach us a bit about the data game and then its application to real estate and whether it's actually changing it or it's like everyone in the past that it's just the database. So sit down, pay attention. We got a good one here coming in hot.
That's why we're here, bro. This is Real Tech Talk. Boom shakalaka. So who the hell are you, bro? You know, what are you into? What do you do? Yo, you just keep it real here. Tell me. Tell me about these real estate players.
Eric Brody is the managing principal of CEMVC LLC. All opinions expressed by Eric and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of CEMVC LLC. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. Clients of CEMVC LLC may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast.
Welcome back, people. Real Tech Talk, episode number 47. Today, we're getting back into something that I think is at the forefront of changing the real estate game, which is, can you create a data set, put a training model on it to get forward-facing indicators? That seems like a big, big load to then lift, and that's where AI is coming into this space. So I don't know if it's there yet, but for me, you got to bring in the people that are in that space of bringing the data together, packaging it for us, and that is my man, Brian Lichtenberger of Marker with two R's. Thank you for coming in.
Two R's. Eric, thanks for having me.
Let me ask you a question, and I asked you this on stage because we were on stage together. Why are we putting two R's? Why can't we spell appropriately in our space?
So do you want the real answer?
Yeah, I want to know the real
answer. Every startup name is taken. There's literally none left anymore. I have four kids.
Yeah.
I've named four kids. Naming
Children
is so easy. Naming a new company is incredibly hard. It's way harder than naming children.
All right. Well, listen, what are your kids' names?
Clark.
Take your time, by the way.
I have boy girl twins, Jack and Avery. And then I have a 4 year old. Actually, it's four next week, Luke.
Well, happy birthday to Luke. Yeah, all right. By the time this airs, he will already be
here. He will be. That's great.
All right. So listen, we chased you to get you on here. And it's twofold, right? You're one of the first founders that we've been speaking to that came from an extremely successful business in a parallel industry. So I'd love to hear just a little bit of the background as to how you then got into real estate. But what was the original business? Because it seems to me that in the real estate space, you're like the best person to attack one of these data problems.
Sure. So it actually goes back prior to my last company. I've spent the last almost 20 years in data. And
what does that mean? What is being in fucking, I know we all talk about data. What does that mean, being in data?
So the way that decisions, kind of any industry, have historically been done is, let's call it this, think research, more in this hub and spoke model where, a company performs research, gives that to folks downstream, and then they use that information to make decisions. And what's happened for a lot of different reasons is that, you know, someone that's making a decision, in the case of a real estate company or an investment firm or an advertiser, is they want more ownership over how that research is being done. They want to get the insight themselves. And so you've seen an unbundling of that, what's historically been a centralized thing. Like, we do the work, we'll give it to you, here's your answer. And
let's go back to the workflow. Research. Sure. All right. Because in my space, that was like, you go on LexisNexis for a report and I get research.
That's right.
So tell me, you know, you were in the financial industry first, right?
And MasterCard prior to that.
Okay. So what was MasterCard and then the companies that React buying research?
They're buying data, and that would enable clients to perform their own research at the end of the day. And that's what's really different is, you know, the research firm used to have all that data themselves. They might do a survey. They might, you know, do some other things. And, you know, decision makers said, I don't want to outsource. That's a critical part of how I make decisions. I need to have more ownership over that. And the availability of data enabled that to be possible. The world's increasingly digital, and this has been going on. You know, the internet exists. These are all just places to harvest information to enable, you know, kind of folks at the end to get access to the information they need to make their own decisions.
So who's the pinnacle company before, let's say, the digital age that owned that research.
Nielsen would be a good example. So Nielsen, you know, they got the boxes in people's homes and they do these surveys and they would say like, hey, what'd you watch on TV last night? And they'd say like, you know, Archie Bunker or whatever people watched in the 70s. And that was the way that, you know, people made decisions for literally 30, 40 years. Advertisers made decisions. And then over time, you know, when you think about things like, you know, people watching on streamers or watching on their phones, like that model doesn't really work anymore. And so you've seen that kind of advertisers saying like, I got to get better information and I don't want to outsource my decision to a Nielsen. I want to have more ownership over it myself.
And then that progressed, right? Because then funds and credit card companies and it Absolutely. All started to either come up with their own ways of finding data or paying companies like Bloomberg, right? Wasn't Bloomberg sure. a big company Absolutely. In this space? So tell me, so what was then the first business where you yeah. were like, you know what? Here's a niche in the data business.
Yeah, so when I joined, I mean, if you look at the proliferation of data and adoption of analytics, it's gone industry by industry. And so when I was at MasterCard, I was one
Give me a year or two.
2012.
Okay.
I joined MasterCard, I'm sorry, 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Joined MasterCard with me and a bunch of folks that had kind of data backgrounds. To help them launch a data business. MasterCard is sitting on, you know, listen, they have 100 million credit and debit cards. They see where people are spending their money. And that's incredibly valuable information to an advertiser, to a bank, to a retailer themselves, a retailer that wants to understand not just like, you know, who know more about their own customers, but where are my customers spending money when they're not with me?
And that's before they were speculating? Like they didn't even look at it?
They would do a survey. So they would say like, hey, you know, you want to take a survey and, you know, on your receipt and they'll send you a gift card or something like that. And, you know, what's the hit rate on people filling out that survey? It's small. There's a lot of reasons why capturing the actual data is just meaningfully better.
So they have this massive, you know, database of binary information isn't telling them shit. And they retain you and they go, you know, and why were they retaining you? Were you a data scientist? Were you creating algorithms that were searching that information? Or are you like the producer of, by the way, if we have this data, it can be this result?
I got into data, you know, early in my career, and I've just been in different kinds of data technology businesses. And so I had a specific expertise commercializing data with institutional investors, so hedge funds and private equity firms. And that was something that MasterCard was really interested in because they saw that as a potential channel to sell this data to.
Okay, so it's a revenue stream for them,
correct?
Right? But how do you know what they're looking for? How do you know what the hedge fund or whoever the one that needs to react to is looking for to then look back to see if you have that information?
Yeah, so at the end of the day, like, you know, what a hedge fund does, they invest in companies. So they want to understand how companies are performing. When you think about real estate wants to understand the potential of locations or properties. And so it's a similar, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, let's try and start from the kinds of questions that someone's trying to answer and work backwards to understand what kind of information is available to help understand the performance of a company or the performance of this location or this property.
And so that's like a hard stop, by the way, because I think that technology sale to the real estate community was always this database management, right? Like it was like Property Shark and it was like, or you can go on public websites for DOB permit data, right? When it was like, here's information for you. And what you said is basically the exact opposite is first, what is the use case for information that you need? Then let's go and see how we can piece that information together to give you some type of insight. That's the exact opposite. I know I've been sold on data in the real estate business since, you know, the big companies that you know, like Property Shark and CoStar. It was always, oh, you can look through our stuff and we have it. But it wasn't like, here's a use case. Can you solve it for me and show me?
Yeah, I think most data companies they happen on a data set and they're like, who can we sell this to? And so when you're, you know, we take a different approach. When you're building a data product, you have to start from the end user first. What's the thing that this person is trying to understand? What's the way in which they go about trying to inform that decision? And so, and those are opportunities to understand, is there a better way to do this relative to how they do it today? And that can either be better data or a better, you know, kind of tool to fit in the workflow.
So first, tell me two things about it. So tell me first, economically, as a business, the data business, you know, to go into yours specifically, like what type of numbers were some of these big companies running? And then second, give me the background, how you then converted to real estate or why you saw this opportunity in real estate. So I just wanted people to understand how big the money is. I had no effing clue. So
yeah, I mean, listen, you can go industry by industry. So there's, you know, MasterCard, the business that I was, you know, part of, it's been their fastest growing business segment for, I think, 10 to 12 years. I mean, it's a multi-billion dollar.
Which is insane. They're selling data, right? Which is different from the transaction fee you and I pay and
right? It's a, you know, some people call this exhaust data. So they have a core business that's doing something. They're generating this data as an exhaust of that business. And then they're looking to commercialize that.
It's funny, in real estate, what do we call that? You know, regen, right? Where the boiler's excess heat is used for steam, right?
Right?
We do it all the time. And it's crazy that MasterCard realized that that business is actually becoming more successful than that current business.
Yeah.
But like MasterCard could inform so much stuff, right? Retail, movement of people, what people are buying, consumer behavior, like so many businesses use that information. It's and it's wild that it, what'd you say, 2010 is when they realized it?
Yep, that's right. That's when I joined, and they had already been kind of working on this for a little while.
Crazy.
But there's giant data companies. I mean, Bloomberg, you mentioned, multi-billion
We have one in the construction materials. I don't remember. Yeah. Dun & Bradstreet, something like that.
Yeah, so Dun & Bradstreet's private company data. In the real estate space, you have obviously CoStar's, the 800-pound gorilla. There are others, you know, Moody's, RealPage. You know, there's a number of companies in this space. And again, a lot of these tend to be industry specific, you know, so.
Yeah, so you're chugging along.
Yep.
You're in the data space.
Yeah.
Why did you bounce to be an entrepreneur, to start Marker, to get into real estate, which is probably the most disparate all over the place data to try to attack that?
So again, if you think about, you know, my working thesis is that data analytics and now AI are, they're essentially fundamentally changing every industry. And it's just happening at different times. So, you know, what happened with the hedge fund segment and advertisers happened, you know, in the 2000s and the 2010s. Real estate has been a bit of a laggard with respect to that kind of data analytics adoption. And so I saw it as kind of low hanging fruit. It's to run the play again, if you will.
Who else is, by the way, big on it? Consumer products.
They've
been doing it forever.
I mean, advertising,
right?
Marketing.
What about pharmaceuticals? Are they big on?
Absolutely. I mean, think about drug development. You think about like targeting consumers. Like, there's
who's slower than us, by the way? Can we shit on one?
I mean,
industry
government.
Worse than us?
The okay, government's government. Slower.
Great.
Than
there you go. So but government is where we pick up a bunch of data. Maybe they're ahead
that's
of
true.
Us, right? But
that's true.
So basically, you were like industry agnostic, but you're like, this is where the opportunity is.
Yeah, I also liked. Real estate is a data intensive industry. It's just historically used in I'd call it a narrow way. And in a way that I think is not, you know, transformative with regard to like how the decisions are being made. So, you know, when someone's gonna underwrite a property, they're like, yeah, I'm gonna pull up my CoStar. You know, they're gonna get a report. They're gonna do a bunch of work, and that's all like good work. To me, the thing that's different is the role of real-time data, the role of data delivered via API or in a different format. Having dynamic deliverables that can enable someone not just to get a report, but what if I want to query something on demand? What about the role of predictive analytics and forecasting? These are all just really kind of low-hanging fruit.
Well, no, I think it's interesting that the audience understands. Come on, we're laggard. We're in real estate.
Sure.
So two things I want to tell you anecdotally. So I don't want to diss the company because they're very popular and they're very successful and they're making a ton of money, but they owned all of the construction data. Okay. And I was meeting with them and they wanted me to invest in them. And I'm shooting the shit with them and I'm going, great, give me one data point that will make me faster. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, you have all the data of every project management, RFI, submittal, timelines, logic scheduled. You have everything. Tell me one thing so that when I pay this exorbitant amount for your fee, you're going to tell me one data point, like do two hoists on 100x100 lot, or give me something that you're like, oh, without a shadow of a doubt. And you know what? They had nothing. Right? They're like, no, that's not what we do. We're just a cloud. And you're like, wow, no one is effectively using the information. And I didn't know it was called business intelligence yet, right? Okay, so now you survey the landscape and you're like, it's sort of, there's CoStar, it's this, you know, 10,000-pound gorilla. What was your angle that would be different? because they've been collecting this data. So how do you compete with that, or how are they using it ineffectively?
So first, let's start with what data, right? So historically, you know, the way that folks gather data, there's data from the government. There's various kinds of sources that are kind of industry sources people might buy. And then there's call centers and survey work. And so, you know, to me, I look at, think about the internet, every home for sale, every apartment building for rent is all available on the internet somewhere, right? And so if you take a step back and you're like, you know, can you go harvest, can you go collect all that information? And can you bring it in and clean it up and structure it and connect it? And then ultimately look at those trends that exist in that data. You can do it every day. There's incredibly powerful data there to be harnessed.
Well, that's a lot of tech though. So let's start. Right?
It is.
First, you said, can we collect the data?
Correct.
So that's some type of crawler that's allowing you, right? And that was an investment you made into, can we get this? That's your first. So now you have that information. Yeah. Then you said, can you now, and you said it earlier, it's dynamic, which I almost see as if, can you move horizontally and vertically through this data set, right? Which is its own technology, right? To pick up different insights.
Sure.
But that was a rules-based engine for you in the beginning, right? That was like, you didn't even know yet. You had the information.
Correct.
But did you have a case study that you were operating off of?
Yeah, so we go talk to clients. I mean, so we didn't just start with that. We said, you know, let's go out and talk to some owners, some operators, some investors. And again, working backwards from what are the kinds of questions that you know these folks have. By the way, we also hired a bunch of real estate people, domain expertise, have built products for this audience, have worked at you know real estate firms before.
Can I just tell you, this is fascinating to me. I'm in the mid-market. No one ever came up to me and said, hey, give me a case study on how you use data. Like, I know you're like, we're talking to everyone in the top of the comet, at the top of, you know, everyone. That's how they look at it, and they're hiring data scientists. By the way, after like the top four firms, like none of us are talking about this, right? Like we're like, CoStar is great. It gives me comps, right? And you're saying, I don't know where I was for the conversation or in the case study. So that's fascinating that you even went up to people and said, I was a builder developer. We're building 20 projects. No one said, hey, like, where's the pain point? Give me a case study of how you use data. Like,
that's how you got to do it though.
I mean, now I have you. So like there I'm there, but like, so fine. So you start having those discussions. What'd you find?
Well,
because they had CoStar. It's not as if these people didn't have information.
Yeah. And a lot of those folks, like everybody does. And so, the question is what are the gaps? And the gaps might be different kinds of data. So again, you think about you're capturing every unit for rent in the country at every market. And by the way, that also is true internationally as well. And so that's, you know, a lot of approaches to call centers gathering that data. First of all, it's not as timely because you can't call somebody every day. And the second is you're really going to focus on kind of the highest interest markets. My clients care about Boise, Idaho as much as they do New York City. And so that's really a differentiator for us is having all that data, not just the where, but also how frequently. We can passively collect this stuff every day.
So now you see this niche, which isn't I own the data of the universe. It's there's these specific veins of data that I'm now going to own.
Correct.
Right? But that's not a company yet. That's like, okay, so here's some veins of information I think we can capture. So you're first mover to that information,
sure.
Right?
Yes.
So then, but how did that form then Marker?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, Marker started with that kind of thesis in mind and let's go out and build the team. Let's go talk to RET Ventures, who's my lead VC. They're the top early stage investor in prop tech. All of their LPs are the large multifamily owners and operators, you know, like the big REITs, all the big guys, like they're all LPs. And so that's been a really valuable partnership for us because, you know, not only do those LPs have, you know, kind of an indirect vested interest in the success of Marker, they also, it's access to us to help understand that pain point question. What are the things you have? What are the things you need? What are the problems that you're having, your various kinds of decisions? And that helps just kind of formulate your product roadmap. And then at the end of the day, and by the way, RET is going to give you capital to fund the business. We got to go execute the team. then we got to go execute building those products. And so that's so kind of how it all comes together.
And because you were in the data business before, you're like, actually owning those few veins is a massive company.
That's just how you start. So like once you start there and now you get clients, now those clients tell you, it's this feedback loop. Like, hey, this is cool, but what about this other area? Or I'm having this problem here, or I need this kind of data. So, you know, we're out with products and, you know, we start asking our existing client base, like, what are the things you need? And, you know, last year supply was a huge problem for, you know, because new supply in a lot of these markets.
Can we just go back? Sure. So they tell you, they give you a feedback loop, which is fascinating because people always think about these businesses as stagnant. And it turns out that real estate and technology is a constantly changing game, which I feel like people should like, when you have to pivot, it's okay. That's sort of the life of business.
Even just that supply dynamic, like, you know, people weren't worried about supply 4 years. I mean, they were, but not, you know, supply was like, has been the question that a lot of our clients have been trying to figure out. Cause it's, again, in some of these markets, it's really negatively impacting rent growth.
And by the way, if you just read front page news and pretend or hope that you're on top of everything, you could literally read an article here, not enough supply, and an article here, supply, right? So this identifying actual information, right? Especially with this, you know, fake news and the rest of it, it's like, actually, I get it, right? That's why it's so valuable, is I have my own information, it's cleaned, Marker's doing it right, it's trustworthy, this is where they get it from. Like, I don't want to read the paper, I want my information from here.
Well, it's also why, you know, you read something in the journal that tends to be a national perspective. And at the end of the day, like, real estate people don't invest nationally, they invest in, you know, properties, very specific locations, submarkets. And so if you look at the supply trends, like they're not impacting every market in the same way, which highlights the need for Marker to exist, because a lot of our competitors, like, they'll tell you what's happening in the MSA and that's interesting, but
what's the acronym?
So the city, the metropolitan area, you know, but like if I'm investing in, you know, Austin, I'm not investing in Austin, I'm investing in a very specific place. And so that's why that really timely, very granular information is really important to our clients.
So now what have you created? So what's the company now? Is it a platform? Are you selling, literally you send out PDFs of information? Like, what is it?
Yeah, so we deliver data, analytics, forecasts in a variety of ways. If clients have adopted the cloud, they have a data warehouse, we can deliver them feeds of information in an easy to consume form that fits right into their cloud
infrastructure. So a real big UX experience. It should be simple and easy to understand.
Correct. And then we go all the way down to the dashboard. So if you're just a one man band and you just have like, hey, I'm just one guy, I'm a business user, I want an easy to access dashboard, we do that as well. And then everything in between, we create reports, we automate all this stuff. So it's we have better data and we fit the way that a client wants to receive it.
Yeah. So now let's talk about that, because I got to be on stage with you and I got to understand what it is, right? So walk me through now, right? Where that advantage, where you see this information like Marker going, like how you should, like in this future, which is in 3 months, 6 months, or today, you're using Marker to do XYZ. And then tell me, because you're at the forefront of using actual AI, because you're the one with the data. And as we spoke, whoever owns the data can create training models for AI. So tell me, like, what's the user experience? Like, what do you hope that the real estate Neanderthal is using for to make that decision? And then tell me how AI is incorporated and where the future is.
Yeah, so a few examples where better data matters. So getting a very timely, you know, you're looking to buy an apartment or your, you know, broker shares with you an opportunity. How do you, or many opportunities, how do clients assess or prioritize one over the other? And so, you know, what some of our clients do, Fulton P Capital, private equity firm that owns, I think, five to 10,000 multifamily units on the East Coast. They use our data to create a location score, which is essentially bespoke to them because we're giving them these different inputs. They're aggregating it all together in a specific way. And that gives them a differentiated view of market performance relative to the expectation in the market.
Interesting. And so they prioritize.
That's right. And so they, you know, where they specifically use this, like if they see something that they believe the market is not fully appreciating the potential of that market from a rent growth perspective, you know, that's they're arbitraging, you know, they're buying something that is the market perceives to be of lesser value than they believe it will be in the future.
But and that, by that the way, inherently that, means that,
that's alpha.
That agreed, right? Yeah. That is a specific advantage over everyone else. But it was there, it's internally where they put that final lens. It's not, you didn't tell them the lens to look at that data for rent growth.
Correct. However, we have all those inputs. And they basically, we gave them a model that said, you can weight these based on the things that are important to your thesis and your, maybe, your, you know, you tailored their.
Oh, that's dope. So you gave them a widget to weight it to give their output.
Correct.
So that is like you did it because you're like, here are the 15 variables. Weight them how you want for your score.
But their logic, our model, our data is how to think about it. But think about how valuable that is. Now they've created this, you know, this score that then they can use on a repeatable basis. It gets updated every day, every week with new data.
So we talk about all the time because, you know, look, and I know I'm at a forefront of data and yet miles behind you, but at least caring more. You know, we're always looking for that information. Why? To be more efficient. Like like you said, 15 deals come in. For us, it's 15 different borrowers or 15 different people who need capital. It's like, who's realistic? What can actually get done? And if I have to spend the same amount of time on all, it's extremely inefficient. So we're looking at all types of ways to get rid of and focus on the things that are important, which is what they were able to do like immediately.
That's right. Absolutely.
So now tell me, AI comes into play.
Yeah.
You own the data, which means, and I talk about it, whoever owns the data, pay attention to what they're doing because that's how they can create training models and AI can work. So how are you incorporating it? And it's not a language model for you. And I think that's really important. Like you're actually creating training models, I assume.
Yeah, we do it in a few different ways. I think about AI increasingly. It's just a set of tools that can help you execute different things. So we use what's called machine learning, which is a subset of AI in our forecast. So when we build our rent forecast, goes out 5 years, covers every market. North of 7,000 zip codes is a zip code level forecast. It gets updated every week.
Oh, and you're predicting
correct
where rent growth will
correct
go. That's
correct.
Fucking huge, right?
And so if you think about how the industry does this, you know, today, they tend to do it on an annual basis and they do it at the beginning of the year and they might update it every quarter.
I'm writing down because I have a deal that if I can get this lender to agree of predictive rent growth, I can get it done. I'm going to use that shit today.
No problem. Every market.
So. That's amazing.
The machine learning enables us to create essentially like an ensemble of models, like tens of thousands of models with all this different data we have coming in. And we back test it because we have all this historical data.
Okay, so let's back up. Yeah. You went and picked up historical data,
correct,
right? Because the
correct
training model's working to get to conclusions from historic
correct
data that you know occurred
correct
to push it forward, right?
Yeah, so we went out and we found someone that gave us, you know, 30 years of history on rent data. There's also government stuff you can pull that has a lot of rent data. And we back tested all this stuff. And ultimately, we let the model pick what's the best predictor of rent growth in the future. And it's not the same for every market, right? So, you know.
But the variability can change. Like, it doesn't matter. We can do it weekly.
Totally.
How's and it so, going, by the way, just in general?
It's going great. You know,
if you hit 80%, I'm fucking.
What the model is really, really good at, really, really good at, is avoiding the bottom, you know, 20% of markets are going to underperform and highlighting the top 20% of markets that are going to outperform. And so, you know, whether we're, 1% off, you know, half
by the way, I
off,
talked about that all the time. The fact, if you were 30% better, you fucking killed the industry. Like,
right,
it's not this idea, we are 99.9% perfect. Are you serious? You make decisions on like an eighth, a 16th of that amount of information.
That's right. Well, what's interesting about that, so we rolled this out last, I think it was last spring, so about a year ago. And I feel like the bar is like higher for us. You know, clients will, you know, prospects will say like, you know, well, what's, they'll dig into the methodology and they'll say, well, you know, and listen, it's fair to have objections, right? That's just kind of natural when you're buying something. But then I'll say like, hey, like, and we'll say like, what's your methodology? I'll give them a 7-page white paper that like my data science team like wrote up over months. And then I'll say like, the current forecast you're using, like, have you ever asked them what their methodology is? And they're like, No, I've never really thought about that.
And right. It's not apples to apples.
But that's okay. Like at the end of the day, like what we're doing is new. Clients want to understand how it's new. Once we build into that process, though, it becomes mission critical because clients, you know, they understand the value that can be derived and how it can be, you know, valuable to them. And then it's just like the fact that it gets updated every week, every month is incredibly valuable because you're just getting the freshest information and the freshest view of where rent's going.
Yeah, no, for me, I think understanding who and what you're doing is somewhat of a game changer. I think that the audience exposure to sort of the market that you're creating, it'll be eye-opening that that's who they're competing with, by the way. Otherwise, you can just kind of follow the big funds that are your clients and just do whatever they do. But yeah. If you ever actually want to like find something interesting and then make that move, you need this information. So what happens in 3 years or 2 years? I don't even want to go 3 years. Like, what do you see for you in not only the marker, but just this industry now that you're a leader forward thinking, picking up that information? Like, what do you think happens?
So, yeah, I mean, look, I expect the decision-making cycles, they're compressing. So if, you know, you used to have weeks to months, now, you know, that's collapsing. You're going to see more real-time data sets. You're going to see more adoption of the cloud. The role of AI, I think, has incredible potential to create change. And so you think about the process by which a firm makes a decision, historically very, you know, it's called people-centric, report-centric. We think about a world of data-powered people at the end of the day. This isn't about like, we're going to replace all the people. It's about making that person, that individual who has a job, making them incredibly more efficient and enable them to do other things. Just increasing that inefficiency
I agree. It's also that Sam Altman quote, like there will be a two-man or a one-man person with a $1 billion company, right? And it's because you can enable us to do this. Like to me, this is fascinating and super exciting because we always look in the real estate business for tangible like items that we can do differently to be better. Like I think this is like low-hanging fruit. It's like, yeah, how about instead of paying for data sets, paying for predictive analytics from the same data sets with methodology as to how they got it. And then you could be like, can you change this variable and weight it differently? You're like, yeah, I don't give a shit, right? As long as you're paying the bill.
Yeah, the other thing about AI, so we use AI, it's embedded in our dashboard. So we use it to enable clients to essentially gather all this information. You run a query, I want to understand these 10 metrics in this location, this neighborhood. And then we enable the AI to just analyze all of it. And literally clients can create these essentially submarket reports across all the rent, demand, supply, property information to do it in 30 seconds.
Yeah, I see some like junior analyst finding you and becoming like the fucking vice president, senior VP in like 2 months because you think the fact that they found you and you're giving insights that they can't solve for.
So we'll do these demos and we'll get to this query and people are like, oh wow, that's really cool. You have all this information and the charts pull up and it's visualized and it looks awesome. And then I go, oh, watch this. And then we click the analyst button and it just starts spitting out text. And the analyst will be like, summarizing all this information? Like, yeah, it's summarizing all this information. You do it across multiples. Yeah, you can do it 6 ways from Sunday.
Dude, I would do an analyst.
That's somebody's job.
I'd do an exclusive with you. Don't say shit to my company. I'll pay you.
But think about that. So if we're taking a task that takes an analyst at a investment firm that invests in real estate, what used to take them hours now takes them 30 seconds. That's like real ROI. It's quantifiable.
You're mitigating and disintermediating cognitive labor. Like we know it. It's obvious. And it's just fascinating. You are doing it, right? People are talking about it. A lot of vaporware, a lot of discussion, but no, this is real. What you're doing.
I mean, the Diner Scene company, a client of ours, like they use this really, like they're creating these automated market insights and submarket reports like every day.
So two questions just and we'll end. So one, in one sentence, how would you describe Marker?
Better data that fits in the workflow that you want to receive it. Better data, better decisions.
Obviously. There you go. Right? And then I always ask this, and I kind of know what the answer is, but you're dealing with this data all above the head stuff. What do you do in order to create balance in your life? I know you got four kids.
I'm not sure
what you're doing as an entrepreneur. There's much left for anything else.
Right now, I mean, there's a lot of spring sports. So I got, you know, we got baseball, soccer, lacrosse, gymnastics. So there's a lot of that. I try and exercise,
what time, 4 a.m. to the 4:15 to 5.
I'll do like the school, we'll do the school thing. And then I got a little window, kind of like I'll do some work and I got a little window there where I can knock it out and then it's back to work.
Amazing.
So that's, I've been into golf lately. So that's
oh yeah. You have 5 hours on the weekend. Yeah. I wish I had more, but
in
a decade, we'll find out that you're doing well. Listen, I really appreciate you. I think that what you're doing is fascinating, real, and I think the audience will really appreciate it. So thank you for coming
through.
This
has been awesome. Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it. Thanks, Eric.
Peace. Real Tech Talk. Every time we talk about this, we are not here to talk about theory, theses, vaporware, and other things that maybe fairies and unicorns and dragons may be coming. We're talking about those things that are impacting the real estate marketplace today. In addition, communicating with you about literal case studies and use cases as to how it works. If you didn't just listen to that podcast and then hear exactly from the domain expertise how he's using information to change to allow you to make better decisions, I really don't know what else to tell you. Get out of real estate or do the, my heart tells me, my gut tells me, but I want to base my decisions based on data analytics. And not only that, the predictive indicators of what the future will hold. And I know that's better than me just saying, I think there'll be more density here. So if you're talking about vitamin or a medicine, you best believe that marker is a medicine. So watch them out there. They don't need anything from us except to have this conversation. So B, I appreciate you and see you out there. Peace.